ACEC is excited to announce that registration is now open for its fall conference taking place in Marco Island, Florida, this October. That's right, after a year of Zoom and virtual meetings, we're excited to be bringing our fall conference back as an in-person event. And we can't tell you how excited we are to look forward to seeing you there in person for all of the content, networking, and education that the fall conference is known for. Log on to www.acec.org for more information. We can't wait to see you there. Welcome to the Government Affairs Update from ACEC for Friday, September 10th, 2021. We're coming out of August and what should have been a fairly sleepy August recess, but it was anything but. And we're coming back into session next week, where the House and Senate will be coming back in to tackle a very full legislative agenda. Not only infrastructure, which the House has to act on before September 28th, and we expect to vote on that bill on the 27th, but the House and the Senate are both going to be working through its spending bills. And that $3.5 trillion reconciliation package that is still out there and a point of contention for really the House Democrats, Senate Democrats on the moderate side and the progressive wings of that party, trying to figure out exactly how they're going to proceed. And there are some tax and regulatory issues at play. And to cover some of that going on, we have Catherine Motley, our tax and regulatory guru over in the Government Affairs team. Catherine, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks, Jeff. I'm glad to be here.
So what's happening? Give our audience kind of a status report on where things are standing as far as this reconciliation package is concerned.
Sure. Thank you. So as our listeners know, because I know you've been talking about this over the last couple of months, there have been debates in Congress about, you know, do we just move what we think of as traditional infrastructure or hard infrastructure? Or do we at the same time try to move the president's and what they're calling social infrastructure programs? And these are things like childcare and healthcare and you know, all kinds of other provisions that are more on the sort of soft side. And as you referenced, there is a significant debate between progressives and moderates in the Democratic Party about where they should be focusing. And they've come to this a bit of a standoff about trying to move forward both the hard infrastructure bill and the spending provisions at the same time in these two different vehicles. And there's still a lot of debate. It's a very delicate dance. But to try to facilitate moving this forward, as you said, in August, which is usually a really sleepy month, the House and Senate both passed the resolution that allows them to move forward with this expedited process on budget reconciliation. Always trade-offs. You know, they can move it more easily through the Senate, but that also means that there are restrictions on what can go into it. And right now, committees in the House are working furiously to put together their pieces of the reconciliation bill. And these really span the waterfront. All kinds of, you know, the various committees all have pieces of it. And so you have things like drug prices in Medicare, and you have things like natural resources programs, and you have the Education Committee looking at school construction. I mean, it really is a broad range. One committee that started its work this week was the House Ways and Means Committee. And ACEC members have a lot of interest in what's going on there. On the spending side, two provisions of interest. One is that they are trying to put forward sort of an expanded mandate on employers to offer retirement savings plans. And going down to firms with as few as five employees, which would be really new. So this is something that our members might want to be aware of. You know, Jeff, I don't know about you. My impression is that most of our members offer some type of retirement savings benefit to their employees. So I don't think the impacts in our industry will be as large as they will be in a lot of other industries.
Yeah, especially the service industry, where you get outside of the professional services industry into the wider economy, and you have these companies that are going to be forced to take a look at adding on these retirement plans. Mm-hmm. That will be something that I'm sure is going to be hotly debated, in committee.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So they moved that through committee yesterday on a very much party line vote. But still, there's a long road ahead of them. The other thing that they did yesterday that our members might be very interested in is that they want to expand paid leave for employees. And so, right now for a few decades, we've had unpaid leave under the Family Medical Leave Act, and they want to make paid leave available to employees. This would not be the kind of paid leave that our members offer when, your employee has the flu and they need to be out for 2 days. This is more if someone has to, provide care for a sick child or a parent or, along those lines. But it is a significantly new program in the sense of how they've structured it. I will say there's still a lot of unanswered questions, but I do think that paid leave is something to keep an eye on because this is a big priority. And, Jeff, you and I both know that there are larger, as we referenced earlier, there are larger politics going on here. While there are some members of Congress who would like to have, at the very least, a $3.5 trillion bill, even larger if they could. But there have been very clear indications, particularly from Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia, that he is not willing to support a bill anywhere near that large. There are some members in the House who've been quite clear about that as well. So I think everyone knows that in the end, the overall package won't be that big. The question will be, how big is it? What gets left on the cutting room floor? And how much deficit spending are they comfortable with? And therefore, how much do they need in tax increases? So that's the other piece that I think our members are going to be really interested in. Where does Congress go in terms of tax increases? And so that's something that the Ways and Means Committee is expected to turn to on Tuesday and Wednesday next week. They have not yet put out any legislative language on those pieces. Not too surprising. It's, as you and I know, very common for Congress to start with the sweets and then go to the less palatable pieces of a piece of legislation. Next week, we may also see provisions like green energy tax incentives. So things along the lines of more energy efficient buildings or solar and wind and other energy efficient technologies. So I'll be looking for that. But of course, I'll also be looking for when the committee puts out proposals that would raise revenue. And what we are expecting to see are revenue raisers in some of the following categories. One is definitely an increase in the corporate tax rate. So that's something that the president has proposed. That's something that most Democrats in Congress have supported. I think many of them thought that the rate dropped too far in 2017. So you'll remember that it used to be 35% prior to the tax reform law in 2017. The corporate tax rate was 35%. It dropped all the way down to 21%. The president is saying 28%, but going back to Senator Manchin, he already made it clear nothing north of 25% would be something he could support. And every senator has a lot of influence when there's a 50-vote margin in the Senate. But Jeff, we also have a lot of member firms. So about a third of our members are C corporations that pay that corporate rate. And some of them also do a lot of international work, and they are going to be quite concerned about some of the international tax provisions that could show up in the legislation. But we also, about two-thirds of our members are organized as pass-throughs, so whether those are S-corps or sole proprietorships or partnerships. And of course, those business taxes are paid on the individual tax returns of the firm's owners. And so in that space, we are looking to see whether or not a couple of provisions that I think we could expect to see. One is that they are very likely to raise the top individual tax rate, which is currently 37%. They want to pop that bucket back up to the prior level of 39.6%. There are also some other provisions that they want to modify, which, although they're technical, we'll just walk away with the idea that that would also raise taxes on these same taxpayers. And then finally, they might put some restrictions on the Section 199 Cap A pass-through deduction. This is the 20% pass-through deduction that was created in the 2017 tax reform law as a way to provide some amount of parity for in tax relief between the C corporations and the pass-through businesses. Yeah. And I mean, if you look at the data across the economy, over 90% of businesses in the U.S. are organized as pass-throughs. So if you had lowered that corporate rate substantially, which they did, and done nothing on the pass-through side, you would have a significant competitive disadvantage. So they created the deduction. It's been in place, but there are some members of Congress, some very key members of Congress, particularly Senate Finance Committee Chairman Wyden, who thinks that they should cap and phase out the deduction. He thinks that it should not be available to higher income business owners, and he would define that as north of $400,000 a year. In income. And so that's something else that we'll be looking to see. Does that proposal make it into the House bill? Does it only make it into the Senate bill? Where do they go from there?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this, you know, all hashes out, because that was a significant win in the tax reform bill in 2017 to have that pass-through protection added into what, you know, engineers put under the tent. Because there are a lot of other professional providers that were not, you know, lawyers, good example, you know, they were not included, but engineers were. But I wonder what the appetite's going to be. And this is where things, you know, when we talked in August, early August, it was a different world almost than we are right now. So many things have happened. You've had issues with the pandemic. You have had the Afghanistan pullout. Mm-hmm. You've had all these different external political events which have eroded a lot of the president's political capital, seemingly within his own party. And I think that vote in the House in August on the rule for consideration of the reconciliation bill, tying in with a vote certain deadline that Pelosi kind of, you know, agreed to make sure that the larger package moved forward. It seems as though the Democrats and the moderate Democrats have been a bit empowered to have their voices heard. And it seems like there's a little bit of a fissure on that side of the aisle where there are more members willing to kind of buck the party line. And a lot of members don't have, a lot of members from these areas have a significant amount of their constituencies in these populations that would be affected by these tax increases. So I wonder how the political calculus is actually going to play out here. And I wonder how much they are actually going to get compared to when the president first announced the American Jobs Plan, first announced kind of this larger package to kind of be this sweeping, you know, almost Great Society 2 size package. And what's going to happen at the end of the day between the House and the Senate? What's your feeling looking at how things are fleshing out? I mean, do you think that there's going to be kind of a lockstep unison, unity in moving this forward? Or do you think there are going to be some divisions?
Oh, I absolutely think there'll be some divisions. And I think the key moment will be that date you mentioned in the end of September. Now, what the progressives want and are publicly insisting on is to not have that vote on infrastructure until the Senate actually passes this social spending bill. The thing they do not want to do is allow infrastructure to move forward and then at some point have the Senate, have everything else fall apart in that very closely divided Senate. But at the same time, as you said, the moderates have started to flex their muscles. And I think that moment in the end of September will be really interesting to watch on this front. Also remembering, of course, that they have to deal with things like a CR to fund the government. Yep. And Secretary Yellen has been quite clear that at some point in October, the Treasury is going to run out of flexibility on the debt ceiling. And that Absolutely. Has to be addressed as well. And that's also a difficult vote. You and I both know from having worked on the Hill, raising the debt ceiling is never an easy vote, and they have to deal with that as well.
Yeah, and this is also the other side of the equation, right? We're okay, we're sitting here and it's still, you know, going to be 80 degrees and beautiful in Washington, D.C., but you got to look ahead at winter and you have to look at all these different things that are coming down the pike. And a debt ceiling vote is probably the one of the most unpalatable things that you have to do as an elected member of Congress, right? But it's also a really strong tool by leadership to kind of shoehorn. Yeah, they'll take something like a poison pill, like a vote, like the debt ceiling, and they'll put it into a must-pass piece of legislation. And they'll put people up against the wall, either on calendar or what have you, holidays or whatever, and force this through. And you're right, you know, Yellen has been very clear about action on the debt ceiling. We also have the issue related to unemployment benefits from the COVID relief that expired. You have all these different programs that also have to be considered in the month of September to keep it going, TANF program and some other programs that are running out of funding. It's going to be a very, very packed month, and you know, it's really starting up, you know, midway through the month, right? Do you think they're going to be able to get everything done, you know, on their timetable, or do you think it's just going to be, you know, herding cats by the end of the month?
It'll definitely be herding cats. That is the job of leadership in Congress. I don't think they'll have too much trouble passing a CR. I think members of Congress have become pretty used to that. I think at this point, the question is just that what's the end date of the CR? You know, putting it sometime in December is what I've been hearing. But I think the other votes are going to be challenging. And when it comes to holding that vote on infrastructure, because we know that the Senate will not be done with the social infrastructure bill at that point. That is not within the realm of physical possibility. Certainly the House could, I mean, all of the committees, as we said, are working now. They are going to get their pieces done and to the budget committee by the end of Wednesday. And certainly in the House, given the rules, you know, they can move things quickly. And so I don't have any doubt that they could stitch together a package and put it on the floor and try to muscle it through, but they will not be able to move that through the Senate before the end of September. And so then there will be a showdown and we're going to see the links.
But the same, you know, it's that, yes, that you have this large program, which the progressives have really, you know, planted their flag on the ground. That's the hill they want to die on. But you have this larger infrastructure package, which has support, bipartisan support across the board. Republicans, Democrats in the House, Republicans and Democrats in the Senate, and a date. And the president actually needs a win right now. You know, he needs to sign something into law. He campaigned on infrastructure. At the end of the day, he wants to be able to sign this into law and move to something else. And it's going to be very interesting to see how that plays out. It's going to be a very exciting month. It's especially leading into our fall conference in the end of October, because all the stuff that we're talking about today is going to still be topic of conversation then. So, just stay tuned. I mean, we'll keep everybody updated as much as humanly possible through the blog, through the podcast, through our weekly emails, you name it. Catherine, of course, does a fantastic job with the Tax and Regulatory Committee, getting information out to the members of that committee. And just stay with ACEC, because we're going to be following this every hour. God knows you guys are a 24-hour shop. I think between Steve and the PPP program, what you're doing on tax and regulatory, it never ends.
It never ends till we win for our members. That's the goal.
Exactly. But we're keeping up the good fight. Catherine, is there anything else that our members should be aware of coming into the return of our wonderful elected members of Congress coming back into town?
I would say, you know, continue to engage with us and continue to engage with your members of Congress when you see action alerts coming out from ACEC, because that engagement matters. It really makes a difference. We saw that in the tax reform process. We're going to see it again now. So please stay connected with us, and we really appreciate everyone's work.
Absolutely. And to that point, and I know that Matt Reifer wanted to join us this morning, he was called on for something else, but we will have a grassroots action alert coming out from ACEC on infrastructure, because this is go time. This is when we need to have our members have their voices heard to keep the House focused on that September 28th deadline and that expected vote on the 27th. So expect that coming out from ACEC. Stay with Matt, stay with Catherine, stay with Steve, everybody on GA, and make sure that our voices are heard in front of the House and the Senate. So Catherine, thank you so much for joining us today with that update. It was great information, and I really do thank you for it.
Thanks, Jeff. I appreciate it.
And again, this has been your Government Affairs Update for Friday, September 10th, 2021. We'll see you next time.